In the midst of a storm and internet connectivity problems, I had the wonderful opportunity to interview and to bring this conversation to you with Manaz Sharif, who has a degree in mathematics and 20 years of experience as an analyst, but who has shifted her attention to helping empower mums whose business dreams are buried under their family needs. She has a business called Build With Boundaries. She hosts the Build With Boundaries podcast. And Manaz's mission is to help clients to work in harmony, to respect their time and their energy so that they can carve out time for them, carve out time for their lives, for their families, and for their businesses. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. I really did. If you are struggling with boundaries, bring out your notebook and pen. Even if you aren't, bring out your notebook and pen. It's a fabulous conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. Are you overwhelmed by the juggle of trying to fit it all in? Do you long to be more present, but you just find yourself reacting to life rather than being in control of it? Are you desperate for some me time in amongst the chaos? I'm Charlotte, a personal trainer, coach, mum, and wife who works because I love my job. I was living the absolutely chaotic life of working full-time, managing the emotional and mental load, trying to meet everyone's needs while completely forgetting about my own. And I finally realized that if I was going to enjoy my work and this journey of motherhood, I needed to set boundaries and make choices that would make me feel more in control, would make me feel healthier and happier so that I could work and mother the way that I wanted to. If you want to create a way of being that allows you to get your work done and be the mum you want to while earning an income and finding joy in your work, I'm so glad you're here. So put away that laptop, tie up your mum bun and lock the bathroom door. We're learning how to juggle. So welcome, Manaz, to the Managing Mum podcast. It is so wonderful to have you here today, all the way from Scotland. And Manaz and I were just talking about how we have a big storm going on here in Cape Town, and I think you are used to bad weather more than we are, but welcome.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. It's lovely to be here.
So Manaz, just to start with, I'd love for you to tell me a little bit about your journey as a working mum. What's that been like?
Oh gosh, how long have you got, Charlotte? As a working mum, goodness, it's like it goes in a blink of a second, yet it's so long, this whole journey, because there's so much that we cram in, don't we, in our day. I was working in the corporate world, so I guess my journey started back then when I was on maternity and went back to work as a mum and as a working mum. And that's when I first got sight of this whole new, like, landscape of life. It's like you're worrying about your child and, you know, how much work you can cram into the time you have, when you have to leave, when you have to start, you know, on call, on phones, messages, emails, whatever, like expecting something to happen or getting a call from the nursery, for example. I think that's how it all kind of starts for most mums, isn't it? But yeah, definitely feeling that struggle. You know, you feel like you've almost done a half day's, if not a full day's work, just to get yourself to the desk. You know, you had to deal with your children, getting them dressed, doing whatever, taking them wherever they need to go, and commuting yourself, getting to wherever, getting parking, whatever. Like, there's just like so many things. And by the time you get to the desk, it's starting the day for everybody else, and they're all nice and calm, and here we are, and we're like a bit frazzled. So I think that's how it started, definitely for me. It was like in the corporate world, and that was me having to commute and go into work and having to leave your child. Then there's the guilt, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, it just, that guilt just starts literally straight away, doesn't it?
So you were in the corporate world with these two small children and feeling the fluster and feeling having done a full day's work before you'd even got to your desk. And how has it been as your children have grown up? What's it been like for you?
Well, that's a journey in itself, isn't it? So certain things get easier, and other things that were not challenges or you had never like thought about before, there's different worries and concerns and different challenges at different stages. So, of course, this is a journey as motherhood, and we're always discovering more about our children and ourselves as they're growing up and becoming their own people. And yeah, that it just keeps on changing. I mean, it never ever really stays the same. Even when they're very young, I think we get used to the fact that there is going to be change. It's inevitable and it happens all the time. But different stages re represent different things. If you're a mum, it doesn't change anything in the sense that they're still your child and you still have concerns or worries or that kind of mum guilt or all these things, but it just changes shape as they get older. I don't think it ever disappears as such, and that's the thing, we have to manage it all the time and in probably in different ways.
Absolutely. So where are you now in your journey as a working mum?
So my children and are teenagers. My eldest is nearly in his last year as a teen, so he's an adult. He's nearly 19. And my youngest is 15. So they're both teenagers. They're both like capable. Obviously, my eldest is far more independent in that sense. He's at university, so it's kind of a different phase of life. We're all living together still. My son's chosen to stay and he wants to be here. So, that means that we still have that family element, which is fantastic. And I think he's so close to his brother as well that I think they would, I don't know if they would quite manage that, to be fair, but that's just the way it's worked out. So it's all good. And yeah, now I am still trying to work during school times and trying to restrict that to the school times because my youngest is at high school. And I sort of set that intention anyway that when I started my business, and especially when I further on in my journey, when I realized that it was something I needed to do for myself, is just to work a 4-day week. So I just work Monday to Thursday and I get all the things that I need done during school hours and on those days. So it's very rare for me to work outside that, and I really do enjoy having my Fridays to catch up on other things because there's always other things to do, right?
Tell me about it. So that kind of brings me to that question. What do you think is the greatest struggle for working mums?
I think it's them finding the way that works for them because, often we're looking outside and often we are looking for answers externally, aren't we? What we think we should be doing, what other people are doing, and it doesn't always work for us. We need to have our own strategies and our own tools and things that work for us so that we feel like we are being productive in the time that we have because, if you're working, work never ends. But we have to decide what those boundaries are. And often, like, it can be things like boundaries are for mums are definitely, on the bottom of the list. It's not, we might recognize that they're important, but we don't necessarily know how valuable they can be to us and how helpful they can be. So I think it's like being a mum, you want to say yes to everything, and then you want to have boundaries that are a bit strict and give you structure. There's this conflict between the two, right? And I see that a lot because we just want to help, we want to do things, we're natural nurturers and caregivers, and obviously as our children get older, so do our parents. So I think that's another, we're that sandwich generation, and certainly I have experienced that. I'm sure many of your listeners will be the same, where parents get older. Their health issues, they may have health issues that they've never had before. You might have to be a carer for your parent. I've had a cancer journey with my own mum, so I know, and both my children were under 10 at that time, and I was helping to care for my mum, and kept her at home. And between myself and my sister, we kept her home. But I had two children under 10. They were at school and I was working part-time. And oh my goodness, like the pressure that we feel, we want to be there for everyone, and it can come in different forms and different shapes, through, like, we keep talking about these different stages, that we go through. But that feeling pressure is like, you're filling in a sandwich and just having all these priorities and all these things that are important to you just shouting for your attention, and not being able to, for us not to be able to give our attention in the best way for each of the things that we really want to. I think there's that conflict is constantly there, and that's something that sometimes it's not really talked about enough. And there's definitely that mum guilt. You know, I see that a lot. And as soon as I mention mum guilt, you know, people usually have, they just get it, right? All the mums will get it. Like, you know, we feel guilty about what we're doing, and we feel guilty about what we're not doing. We feel guilty we haven't done enough. We feel guilty we're not good enough. We feel like we didn't get it right. We feel guilty about making mistakes. We feel guilty we haven't done any more. You know, like the list just never ends. And I think that really can be crippling, because, you know, we are at the end of the day just feeling like, in a strange sort of way, we're putting ourselves down, because, you know, it is all very negative. But, you know, mums are absolutely amazing, because, you know, they are so caring, nurturing, and able to be role models for so many people. You know, it's not just our children, it's our clients, it's our family, it's our neighbors, communities, and there's so much impact that they can create. But they have to almost have their own house in order first, right? Otherwise we just feel like we're frazzled and not doing anything right.
Absolutely. And I love that idea of, how do we start in our house? How do we start with ourselves? And I guess that's where, the process is getting back to ourselves so that we can figure out how do we then care for everybody else. So in your kind of journey from corporate into what you're doing now, how have you started to make those changes from that kind of frazzled, guilty, state to a different state? What have you put in place that's done that for you?
Yeah, so I'll start with, like, if I go back to lockdown, when lockdown hit, you know, that was a key moment in my life, because, you know, I was ended up at the dining table. My husband took over the office, right? Because he had a proper job. And I'm on the dining table. I had two children home. I had my husband home. Everybody's walking in and out, literally just interrupting and just being a distraction for me, when I was like, really, like, I need to work and passionate, and as we are. And I didn't have like clear boundaries. So it became very clear to me quite quickly at the start of lockdown that I couldn't continue that way. But I also knew that I didn't want to sacrifice anything with my family. And then to back that up, I was so passionate about what I was doing, I didn't want to give that up either. So that was my first moment. Thinking back to when my mum was really ill, I saw a reflection of myself and her, you know, seeing that she was doing everything for everyone, and she didn't get a chance to really say, what do I want? And, you know, do we really ask ourselves that, or do we fall into this trap of just doing what we do? And I thought, that's it. I can't be doing the same thing. I need to do something different, and I need to create this generational change, I guess, because, you know, whatever all our parents wanted for us, you know, we want that bit more for our children then, and that's just natural. And that's when I decided that I had to change, and I had to put boundaries in place, because firstly, I'd fallen into this trap of overworking. So I'd gone from not having a business to now having a business, and because I finally had time that I could give it, I was overworking. So I knew then the first thing I had to do was to really bring myself back. I had to pull myself back, not work, not overwork the way, because work never ends, and we can carry on working. It doesn't mean it's effective. And I think that was the key for me to really, like, see that what I needed to do. And then bit by bit, I had to just put that into place. And luckily, my background and perhaps the skills that I'd learned being an analyst, and I'm a natural problem solver, I didn't find it probably as difficult as some other mums would, and I understand that. And I think that's where it's been. I mean, it wasn't easy. I'm not saying it was easy, and that's why I've created a Harmony Blueprint, which is based on all my challenges, because, you know, we don't want all the parts of our life to be an either or, and we have to choose between them. We want to have everything, right? We want to be present in all those areas of our life. And there is a way to do that, and the way is to bring more harmony in our life, to give focus to all of those things that are important, because ultimately we bring more joy into our life. We're happier. When we're happier, we're spreading that joy right all around, including our children, our family, and out, even outside our family.
Absolutely. And I love when you say, the generational kind of change that we want to make. I think that we have this incredible opportunity to show our children that it can be different and to change the stories. As you were talking, I was thinking of all the things that we think we should be doing and all that mum guilt about all these stories that we have in our heads. And actually, we have this incredible opportunity and responsibility to change those stories for our own children and to show our own children that there is a different way of doing things.
Yeah, exactly. And we can't teach that. We need to show them it, right? Because what they learn by us watching us is very different. Like you can't teach that stuff. When they see you having boundaries and they grow up seeing you have, for example, have a business, for example, working and managing everything, they're seeing that from a young age and they believe that's normal, right? Because I mean, it brings back brings me back to one of my nieces. She was here staying, they were staying with us, right? And she was so surprised in the morning when I had to get up at 7 in the morning and I was leaving the house and saying bye to them because they were heading back home. And she was like, where is she going? Like, my mum doesn't work. She's never worked, right? So it was alien to her. And it was actually me going and leaving the house with my youngest to take a nursery, saying my byes, and my husband was there to do the school drop for my eldest, and she just was so confused. And it just, again, it just reminds us that children grow to get used to and see things as being normal of what they're exposed to, and when they're exposed to that, it can become natural very early on. Oh, well, my mum used to do this, or they can think back and really use that in their own life as they go. And they need that. They need to be able to see examples and role models and situations where they know, like, how can that, it can be different. Just like you said, we want to show them there is a different way.
And when you had said you sat at the dining room table because your husband had a proper job, and the kind of, how we talk about things as well, the words that we use in front of our children that create this vision of how it should be. And, you showing your nieces this other way. So they've come from one background and they're seeing another way. And I think that that's, it's vital to show our children that there is another way.
Yes, exactly. Don't we just grow up thinking this is it? This is how everybody operates. Whatever happens in my house is what happens everywhere. We just have this kind of an assumption. But yeah, absolutely. And I say that with a pinch of salt looking back now, because I know at that time that is exactly how everybody felt, that I didn't have the proper job. But then again, like, the fact that I have been through all those struggles of like, no, I'm setting up my business, I'm committing to this, I'm doing this, when I didn't have to, my children have seen that growing up. And now they are a reflection of that. So my eldest, since the age of 16, decided he does not want to work for anyone. He wants to create his own business. And now, from about the age of 17, he's been like intensely educating himself, learning like copy and marketing and all this stuff. And he has a few clients. Like, he has a business, you could call it. Like, he has got the start of something, and he does not want to work for anyone. And my youngest, he's only 50, he's just turned 15 now, but for probably the last couple of years, he's been already very aware that he's much the same. And when Big Brother's following that, he's obviously seeing even more, but they recognize that, and they've seen that for a long time. And they were always actually my allies, even when they were younger, that no, well, mum's building something for the future. Daddy goes out to work, but what mum is doing, like, it's something else. Like, there's just something there. They could understand my passion much more.
Yeah, and isn't that so interesting? I mean, I feel like I'm resonating so much. I had this because of my upbringing, I think, and because of what I had seen, I had the story that corporate was a proper job, and that if I was going to be doing, if I was going to be successful, it was going to be in a proper job in corporate. And I was so uncomfortable being in that space and felt trapped, but could I felt like there was something wrong with me. And what I love is that your boys are seeing that, you can go to work like dad and you can have a business like mum, and there are different options, and neither is better than the other. And what an amazing gift to give them.
And they have a choice, right? Because at the end of the day, as a mum, we want our children to be happy. And they, whatever like it takes for them to be happy, which obviously working is a huge part of all of our lives. So for them to do some job or work that makes them happy is going to be essential for their own like well-being. And you know, that is all we want. So when they go to school, like, I mean, this is the thing I have always, you've hit a nerve there, you know, that's like that whole like, what do you want to be when you're older? It's always like, where shall we put you in the box, you know? And it's not like children need to be using their talents and their skills to the in the best way that they were designed to work, right? And I think this is the same thing that I help my clients with, because as mums, we're not doing that often either. We're kind of battling with things that we can't do so well, and we, you know, blame and shame ourselves over those things, but we're not recognizing how to work with our strengths. And I think that is the difference, because when we work with our strengths, we can create a business that is so different, because you know, you know, it doesn't feel like you're working, right, Charlotte? You know, when you enjoy what you do so much, does not feel like work. It is enjoyable. And then you bring that joy and you have other things. Like when you cram in more things, you often find if you have the right kind of focus, there's so much more you're able to do than you were ever when, you know, and I can see that looking back too. And I don't know if you've got a similar story. You're nodding away, Charlotte. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when we are put, I mean, I was putting myself in that box for a long time, and feeling unhappy and de-energized, and just you talking about the energy that you get when you're doing something that you love, it's a completely different way of engaging. And I think that there are things that we have to do that we don't necessarily want to do. There are even elements of my own business doing something that I love. There are elements of it that are perhaps a little bit more de-energizing, but it's huge to be able to do, to have the gift of doing something that we're passionate about, and to give our children that gift is enormous. So on that note then, Mana, tell us a little bit more about what it is that you do with your clients.
So I help empower my clients who are mums who are juggling all the things, and they feel like their business isn't really as much of a priority as they would like, or they can't find ways to work. So they feel like their business dreams are buried right under their family needs, because it feels like everything else comes first. So I help them to boost efficiency in all areas of life, because it's never just about business, it's about life. And it usually, when we're, you know, certain things are showing up and we're disorganizing our personal life, it carries through into our business too. So I help them to create harmony between everything that they want to give their own time to. And it's like that precious time or precious energy should be spent on the things that we love, and in a way that it lights us up. So helping them to do more of that and just being really productive in the way that they do that. So bringing that focus and joy into their day. So I help walk them through my Harmony Blueprint, and just we take steps in all areas of life, because it's what's important to them that they need to be focusing on, and how we can do that. So that's really, you know, work. I work with them one-to-one to be able to see what patterns need to change. But it all starts from them learning and about themselves. So it really comes down to making sure they have giving themselves enough self-care. They've got an organized structure with some flexibility, right? Because we're a mum. But then also even elements of learning more about yourself. So I've brought in things like discovering your own values and your human design into my work, which is just, oh my goodness, it's mind-blowing. Because you know, when we start seeing ourselves, then we get to actually see who we are, and then we get to accept and honor and respect that. And that is so powerful because we learn more about ourselves through this process, which then helps us to make better decisions that are right for us.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, I just think that's that also when I'm working with clients, that awareness piece, that original kind of who am I? Why am I here? Why do I behave or think or feel the way that I do? And having an understanding of how we engage in the world and what we need from the world as well. I mean, I think that especially as working moms, we're spending so much time out there. What can I give the world? And I'm sure you've heard of the Enneagram, liberal tools for me, because it suddenly gave me the freedom and that kind of tension between corporate employment, entrepreneurship, to say, actually, this is the way that I survive in the world, and there are strengths to that, and there are positives to the way that we show up, and if we can show up in that light, how amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes back to the same as what we discussed before about having that energy and the right energy for the things, because when we're enjoying them more, you know, that's it. We want to do more of those and we want to do less of the other things. But often we have this internal battle anyway, because we don't really have a full understanding of who we are and how we're designed and what our strengths are and where we're kind of moving away from that. Right, because then once we know that, we can bring ourselves back, but we can't see ourselves. We just almost think that we should know, and we don't.
No, we don't. And I also think that in that space, when we're not seeing ourselves, or if we don't have the awareness or the knowledge that one can gain through coaching and working with people like you or me, is, when I believe that we often are pushing aside, oh, this doesn't feel right, but it's what the world says it should be. So I'll just push aside something that feels uncomfortable. And, we lose touch with that kind of essence of who we are and what we can offer to the world. I'm really interested by the name of your podcast, Build with Boundaries podcast. So for you, obviously boundaries are a kind of fundamental of the work that you're doing with clients. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I shared with my story, you know, boundaries were the starting point, and literally this is what I'm helping moms do, is to build their business with boundaries, because we need to have them. It's like laying the foundation of the house before we start building on it, right? You know, having those boundaries in place then just supports us through that whole journey that is to come, and it protects us. And boundaries can be seen in a very different light. You know, they don't have to feel as harsh as the word sounds, because I know it does not sound like it's something very attractive. So that's my mission, is to share my insights and help others to see a different perspective on boundaries and how that can look for them. So my business is Built with Boundaries, and therefore I've just gone with the same name for my podcast.
And why do you think that people find it difficult to build boundaries?
I think it is that whole, like, it feels like we have to say no. It feels like we are either putting ourselves in a cage, or it feels like we're putting somebody or something else in a cage. And so it doesn't feel nice. It does not feel attractive or desirable. But we also have to remember that, you know, when we even look at quite highly successful people, you know, they're often. They will talk about this, and they will share that, you know, boundaries have been absolutely key for them. And nobody has ever said they have not been key. So, you know, there are clues around us telling us how important they are. And we even know that. But because we don't know, they're not visual, they're not easy, they feel very difficult and awkward, then I think that just puts more people off. But that's part of my mission, is to help others see boundaries differently because, you know, they are there, they can be something else, and they can be so helpful because they can be our voice, they can communicate for us, they can guide us, they can show us the path, they can be this bridge. You know, they don't have to be a brick wall, they can be like in your garden. Imagine having a fence that has a door in it. You know, they can be, they don't have to be as rigid as we think, but we need to have them because they're there anyway. But even if we don't have them, people will walk all over them because there aren't any there. So, you know, it's up to us to make that choice on whether or not we want to be able to honor everything that we have. And in order for us to do that and give our time and energy to all the things we want, then we're going to have to create some form of structure and routine and boundaries in order to help us to do that.
I love the idea that boundaries create the safety. I mean, I've seen it with my own children when I'm struggling to keep my own boundaries with them, and then they're like, "Well, where do I stand?" And I felt it myself with other people. You know, if I feel like they don't have boundaries, and I kind of don't know where I stand either, and how important. And I think it's always interesting to bring it back to ourselves. You know, can I have boundaries with myself when something gets uncomfortable for me? Can I say, you know, even in our own business, you know, I was saying there are things in my business that are boring for me or tedious or don't energize me. And yet that the boundary is that this is something that I have to do. So I'm going to do it and kind of almost keep the child me boundaried and so that I can get that task done or whatever the case may be. And I don't know if that's where the kind of the efficiency, perhaps the productivity part comes to play when it comes to business. Where do you see having boundaries just supporting that business?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I think when we have the boundaries, like for example, let's just take one example because it might be easier for listeners to understand. You could have like your start and end times of your working. You're just your working day. When do you start and when do you finish? They're like bookends of your day. Now, that can be a boundary, or it could be not really existent or very muddy and not clear. And what the clarity gives us is it helps us to see where we are. It helps us to see where one thing finishes. It helps us to see when something else begins. It helps others to understand. So if we're at home working and we have a boundary that we are on a call and we don't want our children to come in, or we finish work at 4 o'clock, but actually we don't. You know, all those things are going to be helpful for everyone else to be able to respect our boundaries. But if we have none, then what, we can't really voice anything either. And, you know, people then, when they do sort of step over those boundaries, well, because they weren't really there in the first place, or we were too scared or feared of even creating them and communicating them, we feel resentful, right? And then that's not helpful. So we just, like, the negative spirals, we've got like so many that could just be kicking off. And I think it's turning that around. And with regards to like focus and efficiency and productivity, well, you know, when we have clear ways of doing things, and then we're like, well, I have this much time, so what am I going to do to fill it? Then, you know, we have to make those decisions from an empowered place. We're not going to be worrying about non-work stuff because we're working, right? So there's a boundary there. We might need to have more boundaries with our clients. Like, we can't be on a call for an hour and a half if the call was meant to be an hour, because then we're not protecting our time, and boundaries help us do that too. So there's so many different, and all of these are going to help, right? Your productivity and your efficiency. And then, okay, you have half an hour left. Well, because you're laser focused, you're super organized, you know what you can do in that half an hour, versus, oh, there's half an hour, I won't get started because I'm not going to get it finished. So, you know, there's always rabbit holes that we can go down where we're wasting that time and we're wasting that energy, and we're not being productive, but the whole point is to maximize what we can do, and that's definitely, boundaries help us to do that.
I think that, one of the issues that I often find with clients is that this, especially if they are in corporate employment, is that that boundary between work and saying no at work and saying no at home, or bringing work into the home life and vice versa. And also the structure, like how, creating a structure for my week. And without that structure in place, there's that flow. As you say, you can have a door when you've got a structure in place, but if you've got no structure in place, then
Nobody knows where
everybody's
what that's
just
about.
absolutely. And then what's happening for you when you're standing there watching everybody walking back and forth over your boundaries, and there is be productive and efficient, and it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, definitely. That's it. And we then it just feels like it's difficult, and then you feel like everybody's not understanding, and everything just spirals. And that's not what we want. We want to be on top, on our top game all the time, no matter if we're working or we're not working. And then, we don't want to be resenting our family and feeling frustrated. But that is what happens when we don't have boundaries. And it feels very difficult to enforce them and to communicate them and do things. So we have to first understand the value of it, because, if we don't think about boundaries in a way that they're going to be helping us, then we're never ever going to look towards what could help me, and actually seek out solutions that are right for us.
The more that I'm listening to you, the more I'm thinking about where I've had to set my own boundaries, and noticing, and even that awareness of how one gets more confident in doing that.
Yeah.
So, Manaz, if people are to try and find you, try and learn a little bit more about what you do and around, listening to your talking around boundaries, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can go to buildwithboundaries.com, and I'm also on LinkedIn, so I'm quite active there. So feel free to have a look there for me. And obviously, I have my podcast too, so you can check that out, Build with Boundaries podcast. It's always great to look at other people's perspectives, and that, there's so much that we can gain. And this has been such a wonderful conversation again, that, everybody has their own perspective and view. And just because it's a podcast or it's some free resource, like I'm a real believer that we can have amazing insights, no matter what type of thing that we're listening to. And it is powerful when we shift our perspective and just see something that we just could not see before.
It's just been absolutely fabulous to hear your perspective of it, to hear you're passionate about it. It's lovely to see that passion in your face as you talk. And it's, I think we are, perhaps we can have a follow-up episode at some point, because there's so much here for us to talk about. I'd love to dig in a little bit deeper.
That would be
But I
wonderful,
just want to
Charlotte.
say thank you. Yeah, and thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the Managing Mum.
Thank you, Charlotte.
I so hope that you've enjoyed this conversation that I had with Manaz around how boundaries can have such a huge impact on our lives as working mums, and how important they are. And I loved how she talked about boundaries giving us a voice. And sometimes we feel like our voice is never heard, we're not listened to. And just to know that setting boundaries can give us a voice. So if you want to learn more about Manaz, the links to her information are in the show notes. She has a free boundary clock worksheet. She is very active, as she said, on LinkedIn. Go and have a look at her LinkedIn page, have a look at her website, and I'll see you next week. I so hope that this episode has given you something to think about, or something to help support you in this journey of working motherhood. If so, would you take 30 seconds to share it with another mum who may need some help in managing it all? I would also be thrilled if you would go to Apple Podcasts and leave a written review there. This way, I know that what I'm offering is making a difference, and this is what I long to do. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you back here on Tuesday.